morning.
Good morning. Hello.
Hello. It's time for another Stoop Sits, where we gather together here on the virtual stoop. It's giving you a big hug as you come in, greeting you right there at the first step of the stoop, y'all. Thank you so much. Thanks for being here for a little dose of real talk on the stoop, the best stoop we've got in these times where we can all come together. Hey, y'all. Thank you for joining today and for the love. Hey, I'm taking extra refuge in being here on the stoop today. As you know, it's the highlight of my week anyway. But today it's a special place of refuge. It's a big feeling day, a big emotion day. Stoop sit is my classroom while I'm on lunch panicking about returning. Ah, good morning. Hugs. It's a big emotion day over here for me, and it may be for some of you too. And I can't think of anywhere I'd rather be than right here on the virtual stoop with you. I wanted to talk about what I'd been pondering over the last week since our last stoop sit. And then this morning got a big emotional doozy in that my father-in-law passed away this morning. And some of you that have been joining in, or you're in the yoga potluck, or you listen to my daily dice reality riffs, you know that for the last month I've been quarantining solo because Jeff has been with his family, kind of shepherding his father through his transition, and of course his mom and his brother who are also there. So it's been a lot of feeling, and I had a completely different topic. Is it really a completely different topic? Because all topics are related to this thing called living in life. And then I also, quite frankly, thought about just going like, oh, just kidding, no stoop sit today. But here's what brought me to it. One was knowing that a lot of you would be here and show up. And the other thing is stoop sits and the workable day in the neighborhood that came before it, like they have been all about realness and truth, authenticity, and showing up unabashedly without fear in that way. And so it felt just off for me to talk about, you know, what I had planned, you know, something else, and not just, you know, kind of like bear witness to truth, to realness. And the other thing that really pushed me over into like, heck yeah, thank you so much, you guys. But the other thing that pushed me over into really wanting to be here with you today and not bypass is that the death is something that is universal. And I know several of you, I know from things that you shared with me that you went through, have already been touched this closely with death. But it's like, it's unavoidable. You cannot escape it. At some point in your life, you're going to come face to face, heart to heart with this feeling. And there's something just really exquisite in that, don't you think? It's like no one, no matter your privilege, no matter the way you live your life, no matter where you're from, I mean, no one is immune from this type of big emotion. And we all handle it differently. There are different circumstances, you know, obviously. But this is, it's one of the most potent teachers there is, this thing that's death. So for me to ignore it, avoid it, pretend, not only is that disingenuous, Trish says, I've learned more in loss than in happiness. Yeah, girl, and you've been through a lot of loss too. I happen to know that. So it, for me to bypass, talk about something else, it just, that disingenuineness to me is an insult, to the life force and to the teacher, that is death. Now, obviously, I want to be sensitive to everybody's triggers and not trigger anybody. And also, there's a part of me that was like, oh, no, don't talk about it. Don't be such a Debbie Downer. But this isn't really about the downer side of things. This is about showing up in the face of big emotion, showing up in the face of a universal big emotion that everyone has to go through at some point in their lives. For one thing, it's something that connects us. And I can see that in all of you in the way that you're responding to what's going on. Think about this for a second, if I may. Right now, my heart feels very tender. And when I share that it feels tender, I suspect, if I know any of you at all, and I do, it also, for even just a moment, makes your heart feel tender too, in empathy or sympathy for my tender heart. And I ask you, what is more fucking beautiful than that? What is more needed than that? You know what I'm saying? So to be here in communion with you in this way is creating beauty. It's creating beauty, even though on the surface there is something that we would label sad. I'm just calling it big emotion because it's big. It feels like a wave, kind of like an emotional tsunami. But at the same time, that's really what it is. It's big emotion, and it's big emotion that has the power to transform us. And it's transforming us right now in communion, where my tender heart sees your tender heart, right? And your tender heart see my tender heart. And that is fucking beautiful. And if we don't look for opportunities to feel that empathy, sympathy, and compassion, and we don't celebrate it because, oh, I don't want to be a downer, or, well, that wasn't my plan, or, you know, any of the myriad things that could have got me off track, we are missing an opportunity to celebrate our life force and to celebrate this life. So I've lost, this is the second person I've lost that was quite close to me in 2020. And in both cases, thank you for keeping it real. Both my mom and my brother are in hospice. Tender, tender heart to your tender heart. So this is the second person I've lost in 2020. And in both scenarios, what I am committing to doing is, and I'm probably going to drop F-bombs, so I'm sorry for that, but doubling fucking down right now on my commitment to life. This is carpe diem at its greatest. This also includes acknowledging this concept, for me anyway. I'm not projecting onto you. I'm just sharing in case anything in here is resonant for you. This is also not only doubling down on my commitment to life, but it's my, for me, a big part of living is no regrets. No regrets. Now, you can fuck up. You can make a mistake. You can have poor judgment. You can go down some kind of blind rabbit hole. We have all done that personally, professionally, right? Countless ways. You can make mistakes, but that is totally different from repressing your life force for fear of, I don't know what, a million things, right? For fear of being perceived in a certain way, for fear of disappointing people, for fear of angering someone, right? That's the kind of thing that's going to lead to regret because you weren't true to you. You weren't true to this unique life force. Now, we all have life force within us, right? And there is sameness. There is oneness in that life force. But each life force manifests uniquely because it blends with this idea of your identity, your personality, right? So it's like at essence, we're the same, right? But how we express is unique and different. And when we repress that unique expression, we fucking miss out on your unique expression. But the hardest person to convince that it's essential, your unique expression, is you, right? It's you. It's me. I'm the one who's going to doubt, right, that if I repress my unique expression, it's a big deal, right? I'm the one who's going to doubt that. And so when someone we love dies, when their life force in this incarnation, let's just say, ends, I personally feel like the greatest thing we can do is redouble our efforts to commit to this unique expression of life force that is you, and to commit to being so true to you that you could die any day, any moment, and be without regret. And for me, that includes saying the thing you need to say, shoring up the boundary you need to shore up, taking the risk you need to take, right? Playing with that fear of, I don't know what, rejection, disappointment, et cetera, because I know it's true to me. My greatest fear is that as I move towards the end of my life, I will regret the things I didn't do instead of the things I did do, some of which, perhaps many of which, ended up being mistakes. You know what I'm saying? Regret the things you didn't do is my biggest fear. And I think that's a beautiful way to honor those whose life force in this incarnation has come to an end. Another thing I've been thinking of on this big feeling morning is something that I learned from two things, really, that I learned from my teacher, Shiva Ray. One is she introduced me to this concept of the nectar of life, right? Like the ambrosia of life, that you seek nectarian moments, right? And I believe that you can make nectarian moments. You can find the nectar in every moment, even those that seem mundane, trivial, right? Even those that seem so ordinary, there is nectar there. And I think doubling down in your commitment to your life includes seeking the nectar, looking for the nectar. I think we subconsciously wait for the nectar to come to us. And I also believe that's not the way it works. The nectar is there. Yes, even in COVID, even within your fucking house, even within your routine that you've now grown bored of, the nectar is still there. So Shiva really put that word in my heart, and it has been a guiding principle to make nectarian moments, right? The nectar's there for the taking. It's just a matter of how committed to your life force are you that you will keep looking for it, that you will keep seeking it, that you will keep swilling it around in your mouth and tasting that nectar of your life. That's a tribute. That's a tribute to those who are no longer living. And the other thing that Shiva introduced to me that's been on my mind, it's the title of her book, which is Tending the Heart Fire. And I've been talking about this for the last several weeks. Obviously, it's been on my mind. But tending the heart fire is, in a way, it's energy stewardship. But it's tied into this seeking the nectar of moments, right? And not avoiding those big feeling days, right? Tending the heart fire is recognizing that the only way that you can fully participate in this one wild and precious life, someone brought up Mary Oliver, Amy did, the way that you can fully participate in life is because you're tending your own heart fire. You're listening to what you need. You're listening to where you're turned on, fired up, right? You're not living in a way that is in alignment with whatever you're supposed to is, you know? And a lot of us are doing that because we've never probed, am I living in a way that is in alignment with my heart fire? Sometimes it's not how other people live, right? And so there's a certain amount of courageousness involved in living in a way where you're seeking the nectar that supports your heart fire. But again, I have to remind you that if you live in a way that may be tamping down your own heart fire, you are depriving us of the unique expression of the life force that is you. And I'm just saying that's a big deal, but you're the hardest one to convince. I could probably convince everyone else here on the stoop of that about each other, but you're the hardest one to convince. And so I have to remind you on this big feeling day, I don't want to miss the opportunity because it's so genuine right now. It's so authentic right now, is that you commit to tasting the nectar of your life and tending your heart fire so that we may have the unique expression that is you, just as you are. Not looking like someone else, not the clone army, not the commercially approved version of you, but the unique you. You know, I think artists are the gurus that live in such a way that they understand this, right? They express in a way. Sometimes we're like, I don't really get it, right? And that's the way it goes, y'all. It's not just with art. Each one of us are a creation. Each one of us, a unique piece of art that should be shared. Not everyone's gonna dig it. And that's okay too. But imagine tamping down yourself, your realness, for any reason. What an insult to the life force, right? What an insult to whatever great power made it possible for us to be staring into little pieces of glass all over the world in this moment. I mean, shit! So... Monica says, I love this. It's making sense now. After losing my parents, I've really been soul-seeking and I've never felt so alive doing it. Indeed. Indeed, sister. I know you've been through a lot in this regard. For sure. Yeah. I think here's the last thing I want to say before we sit together is this. Be aware of the enemy. And I hate to tell you, it's not a person we could conveniently blame. I believe the enemy to this tasting the nectar of life, to this tending your heart fire, I believe the enemy is apathy. When you stop giving a shit and when you cease being curious, right? Please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, don't wait until something fucking gnarly happens to you. Where like Monica, you lose both your parents. Or like Jeff, you lose your father today. Or you get cancer. Or you lose a child. I mean, these major maha things, they're going to happen to all of us in one form or another. But why should we wait for that before we snap out of apathy? Now, y'all are here on the stoop, so I'm going to guess you're not all that apathetic, right? You know, you're here, you're showing up, you're curious. That's a great sign. So I may be singing to the choir, but you know, I've always wanted to be a singer. So I think the thing is let's rally the troops against apathy. And apathy is tricky right now, y'all. People are sliding into it because it's getting old and we're getting bored, right? And apathy is kind of like the big brother of boredom. So I say this, please don't succumb to it. And if you need help in your apathy, ask for it. If you don't know how to not succumb to it, reach out, ask, because I know there are people that would love to support you in moving away from apathy and back into curiosity and in engagement with life, even when life looks all fucked up, right? The nectar is still there. And I'm just feeling so much like my commitment to the nectar is rebellion. You know, it's like, oh, no, no, no. Shit going down in the world. People doing shit I don't like in the world and so on and so forth. There is something you will not take from me, no matter what. You took my job. Okay. You took all my money, but you're never going to take my commitment to finding the nectar in moments in life. You're never going to be able to take my commitment to this expression of the life force, to living as fully as I can. Okay, so Reverend Gina is clearly in the house today, but that was 100% realness. Not at all what I was going to talk about, but, or is it really just, it was a different version probably of the same talk. But thank you for showing up with me on the stoop to give me an opportunity. You have no idea, or you do. You either have an idea or I'm telling you now how beneficial it is for me to have the opportunity, especially because I'm alone and I don't have anyone really to talk to in person, to ventilate those feelings. to just ventilate them out into the world. So thank you, my neighbors, for sitting here on the virtual stoop with me and just giving me a chance to ventilate all of that and let it, you know, move through me. May it be of benefit. And if it wasn't, it was a benefit no matter what, because you held space for me. So if you didn't learn anything, no problem. If you didn't feel redoubled in your inspiration, no problem, because the thing that it did do for you is that you gave a gift to me. So thank you. Thank you for that. Let's sit, my neighbors. Let's do a sit. And Jeff's dad's name is Victor. If you want to offer this as a send-off, this literally happened just a little while ago. If you choose to join me in offering this as a send-off as he transitions into the great unknown, or maybe you call on someone who's been a great teacher for you too. So let's place palms down on your thighs and find a workable seat. Something workable. Root down through your sitting bones, rise up through the crown of your head. Feel that gorgeous telescoping of your spine. Don't miss the opportunity to witness all the muscles involved in that telescoping. Feel your abdomen compress, your back muscles fire. Notice that regal quality of your neck elongating. And then today, let's bring extra awareness to your heart center. The tenderness in you saw the tenderness in me. And then bring awareness to your throat, the chakra right above your heart center. And with your heart a little more open in our exchange, I invite you to soften your throat as well, so that your truth may flow freely. Now bring awareness to your breath. Go deeper into yourself. Breath is the portal from the gross to subtle self. Feel each inhale invite. Can you celebrate your life force by not squandering it? Now go deeper. The third layer of your consciousness. This is the mental and emotional sheath, Manomaya Kosha. It is on this level that we take in sensory perception. We feel, we respond, we react. Sometimes we mistake this level of our consciousness as the entirety of who we are. It is on this level we can feel the big feelings I spoke of today, and yet not get so deeply hooked in them, we forget that we're more. Notice the feelings that have been swirling around in you of late. Are they intentional? Are they in alignment with your commitment to life? If not, don't judge. Take action. Now go deeper. The fourth layer of your consciousness, Vijnanamaya Kosha, the witness. The onboard observer. This is the layer of you that makes sense of big feeling days, that stores the wisdom that come from these great teachings, these great gurus. This is where knowledge lives within you. Now go deeper. Ananda Maya Kosha, the bliss layer of your being. It's on this level of your being that the life force hums along with a joy that does not come from anything external. This is the level of your being that seeks the nectar of life at all times, driven to fulfill itself. And then go deeper, beyond the bliss layer of your consciousness, Atman, your soul. On the level of our souls, we are one. We are the flame, the life force, all from the same source. But when we add all the layers we've just gone through, our knowledge and wisdom, our feelings, our personalities, our emotions, our energy, our physical bodies, when we add all of those to that soul, we become unique. Same and unique. Let us celebrate this sameness, soul to soul. This is how we recognize ourselves in each other, despite all of the differences on every other layer. And we say, I see you, or namaste. It's from this layer, soul to soul. And then zoom out, pan out. Witness yourself in your entirety, your wholeness, from skin to soul, all of you. What a remarkable creation you are. This combination of divinity and personality. And we find the courage to never stifle our unique expression. And we believe in its value. Now let's place our hands together in front of our hearts. With this gesture, Anjali Mudra, we offer the merits of our coming together on the stoop to sit in communion, to feel today perhaps this mutual tenderness, as well as our efforts in self-inquiry, self-awareness, self-witnessing through this meditation. Let's offer the merits of both of those things to all beings. May the work we do on ourselves together be of benefit to all those we influence, to all those whose lives we touch. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Namaste. Thank you so much, Naves. Thank you, thank you. I noticed that I dropped out once again, says poor connection, which is kind of crazy. I have a Google Fiber. So thank you for staying. Thank you for being here for the sit. Thank you for holding space for me to be completely authentic with you today. Thank you for your love. I feel it. Thank you for your virtual hugs. I feel those too. Thank you for letting me ventilate my heart's music today. Thank you, Monica. I love you too. And I'll let Jeff know that we were here on the stoop, celebrating the power of this experience. Thank you. I get your big hugs. I feel them. So, yeah, thanks. That's what I got for you. I hope that you felt my words. If you jumped in late, I had something powerful happen today, but what results is really championing you doing you. Championing you doing you while you got the time. So I hope that resonates, and yeah, I love you. Thank you so much. Yeah, right back to you, Beth. Thank you. Thank you all so much, and I'll be seeing you. I'll be thinking about you, and thanks for holding space for me today. Big hug. Love you. Thanks so much. I'll add this as a podcast, of course. I forgot last week, but I'll be adding this week and last week. And if you're interested in more community, I launched the Yoga Potluck last week. And so now we're in week two of the Yoga Potluck, and it's been amazing. And I may end up pulling these stoop sits into Yoga Potluck. Because most of you are already in it. So thank you once again. I'll see you so soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.